Well, hello and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts in the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and on this edition of the conversation, I'm chatting with Avery Church, COOP coordinator with the Department of Emergency Management and Security. Avery is here to talk with us about Continuity of Operations Planning, or COOP, for Fairfax County. What is COOP and why it's so important? Avery, thanks for being here on the County Conversation Podcast.
No problem. Thank you for hosting.
Absolutely. Now, you work in the Department of Emergency Management and Security, but you're a COOP coordinator for the entire county of Fairfax County, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So, what does that entail? What is COOP and why is it so important?
It's a good question. So, Continuity of Operations is an age-old concept that we've been doing here for generations. It started in the military, being prepared during the Cold War, but it's definitely morphed into generally a good idea to understand how we do business. A government the size of Fairfax, we have a lot of moving parts. So when an issue occurs, we have to have centralized coordination. That's kind of where the Continuity Program kind of lays its hat. We understand where the functions are, who does what, and what's most important. So, you know, we do a lot of planning throughout the year. We do exercises to understand what's most important. And the word important is kind of tough because you tell a group of folks like, hey, your function is not important. That's not, we're not saying that they are not doing anything of great issue here.
Right.
We're saying at this moment, we need to prioritize. And that's kind of the toughest thing in my job is to prioritize the things that we do in the county. But that's kind of the role of the Continuity Program, is to make sure that we are all on the same page, understanding what we're trying to do,
right,
moving in the same direction.
Right. Okay. I think a lot of the things you just touched on there, we'll dive deeper in and as our conversation continues. Purpose, like, step back for me. Just, like, what is the purpose? What is the why behind it, behind having a Continuity of Operations plan?
That's a good question. So, the why really is born into getting everyone on the same page. When you have a crisis or a disaster, you can imagine that there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of people trying to do a good thing. But in certain instances, you have too many people doing disparate things that are not coordinated. And we talk about the operations of the business or of the government. We need to be all on the same page, you know, singing the same sheet of music, making sure that we know what we're trying to do. So we prioritize the things that the county government does, right? The things, like services we provide the residents. You can imagine that the list is probably what everyone imagines them to be. Police, response, fire, health department, family services, those really key resources that, you know, we provide to the residents. We make those a high priority. So, you know, the reason that we do this is to ensure that we are all on the same page. And we know that when we have, you know, limited resources, we have to move those resources to support certain functions throughout the county.
I'm going to come back to the prioritizing resources in a minute, but I want to ask you, how is Continuity of Operations planning different than other emergency planning that DEMS does or other county agencies do? Because every county agency does emergency planning, if I understand correctly. So how does COOP and run-of-the-mill emergency planning different, if it does differ?
Right. It's a good question. So we all focus on the same general idea, but we all have different areas of expertise. So when you look at the general emergency management plans, a lot of them are focused on assisting the residents, whether directly or looking at critical infrastructure, right? With the Continuity Operations Plan, is looking at ensuring that we are able to do that. So it's kind of self-help. So, you know, if the county government isn't prepared to provide, you know, assistance during a hurricane, the effectiveness of that response is going to be diminished. So the Continuity Plan strengthens the county government's, all the apparatuses that you see, you know, all the structures, all the client organizations. So we know what we're trying to do. So that's taken care of. So once that's taken care of, we can better focus on, you know, the responding of the emergency management items.
Mm-hmm.
So you have plans like the, you know, we have a sheltering plan. A sheltering plan is really great, but we need people to do that. And, you know, the organizations that are primarily responsible for sheltering don't have enough people. So probably they're going to have to pull from other organizations. And that's kind of where the Continuity Operations Plan comes in, because those organizations that are pulled from still need to do operations. So they need to do their same business with less people. So it's prioritization that, you know, we talked about earlier.
Right.
The sheltering in this emergency is a priority. So we're pulling people from other organizations to do that priority. So we support those emergency management plans, you know, by making sure that government's able to do its business.
Now, is COOP, Continuity of Operations Planning, and that's the last time I think, I'll hopefully we'll, we'll say out Continuity of Operations Planning from now on. I'll just hopefully say COOP. If I don't, you remind me.
No worries.
Is COOP like a mandated thing by federal law agencies, regulations, county or state, any kind of mandates that you have to do COOP?
So at the federal level, is certainly mandated. It's directly mandated by the president, by presidential directive. It's updated. Usually every administration puts their own twist on the concept. So at the federal level, is certainly mandated. Every organization that gets federal funding has to have a pretty robust continuity capability. When you look at the state and locals, at the state level, there is a requirement, but it's not as direct. At the local level, we have taken these steps to do this because we see it as a good business practice. The county executives, from, you know, Tony Griffin all the way up to Mr. Hill, have always supported the continuity program. They've all seen it as being good business. And if you think about it, the concept of us being able to be prepared to do our business, I mean, I can't think of a better, you know, use of time other than, you know, some other things there. But I mean, it's just basically we're able to do this to support the residents, right? So those are basically the requirements. And, you know, we've proven ourselves to be valuable. So we hope to continue to do that.
Before we dive into, like, the areas, I had this question for later, but I think it's a good time to ask you. Do you have like some real world examples or either hypothetical examples in your planning that demonstrate the effectiveness of COOP?
Sure. You know, I guess the example you're going to hear a lot is going to be COVID, right?
Right.
So I'll do that one quickly, but I'll give you a better one.
Okay, good. Later. I was going to say, yeah, we're tired of COVID.
Yeah, okay. Everyone's tired of COVID. But, you know, on the back end of COVID, you had staffing issues, right? That was a emergency problem of staffing. Mm-hmm. We had to keep people away from each other, but still providing service. So we had to lean heavily on creative solutions. And those solutions sometimes included, you know, telework. My organization had to, you know, figure out how telework works, right? Some organizations did a lot of telework, some didn't. So we had to kind of marry that together and say, we have to do telework because you have to have people to do the function. So, you know, we had pods where we had to distribute the...
Pods.
Oh, points of distribution.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So when we had vaccines, we had to set up pods. And those pods were staffed by the county staff. Those folks all had, you know, day jobs too. So we had to instill continuity of, you know, this person who does this really important thing in tax is in the pod. Who's going to do that tax job while they're gone? Or whether it's for a week or for a day, that job still needs to be done. So that's kind of the concept that we've been practicing out of COVID. But a more practical example that you might see in the county that's not as, you know, impactful as COVID would be more of the mundane things. Mm-hmm. You know, the good folks in, for example, our IT shop, they have a very hard job, right? They're working on things that are not always in their control, but we rely upon them greatly. So we have an issue like if your email were to go down or some other critical service goes offline, the third-party vendor might be the person who's actually managing that, but you don't know. It's right. DIT. So something happens like that, that's a continuity issue because there may be a service that relies solely on that software or something like that. Or communication. This is another example. This last weekend, we had the geomagnetic storm that could have been an issue. Thankfully, it didn't cause great disruption. But if we were to lose radio communication across the county, police and fire are dispatched via radio. We have a number of things that are relying upon radio communications that people may not know. If we lose that, we have to have a workaround. How do you communicate from dispatch to an officer on the ground? Hey, we need to go to this location. And if you do, GPS might have been affected. So how do you navigate that officer who might be new, might be their first week in the county to get to some place they've never been to, right? So those are the questions we have to answer. And those are real world examples of what we're trying to mitigate against when we talk about continuity operations in a county government.
So how, maybe a dumb question, how redundant do you have to be? Because you talked about the example of a police officer maybe having to go somewhere he's never been before. I mean, is it, and I hate to use this phrase, is it dumbing it down to where you've got actual paper maps in vehicles so that people really know how to get there? I mean, how far do you have to go down to be prepared?
That's a good question. Each organization has its own culture. We try to marry up to that culture, but we generally say, you know, you have to kind of make it so that success is very achievable. So if it requires each officer having a map in their car of the county, that might be what's necessary. And, you know, the hard part of this is that you might go years and you've never touched that map. Mm-hmm. You know, just an example. And people may say, well, why do we have this map? Why are we spending money buying maps for folks that they're never going to look at it? The never piece is critical because it will happen eventually.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we're trying to ensure that, you know, you may not want to spend the money to do X, Y, and Z, but we promise you it's going to happen. People said that, you know, the thing, COVID, was never going to be a thing. Pandemics never happened.
Right.
Well, in my world, we knew pandemics were happening. We had plans dictated directly for pandemics. We don't care about what the event's going to be. We care about the effects and how we respond to it, right? So the map might be helpful in a number of things. The GPS problem might not be a problem, but could be some other issue that this map that this officer needs is helpful, right? So the more tools we give to the folks, the staff, you know, the people that do the business, the better. And that redundancy should go as deep or as expansive as, you know, the culture is willing to accept. Because we need to make sure that the surface level for success is wide. We want to make sure we can make success happen no matter what. And that's the mission. That's, you know, that's our ethos in the Conduit program.
So the success is providing that level of resources to the residents or taxpayers of Fairfax County that they're used to.
Of course. Yeah. I'll say, you know, residents are great. We love residents. But they expect the service to be provided. Like,
right.
They're not too concerned with why you have a problem.
Right.
They want that service.
Right.
And we're very sensitive to that. So, you know, we do the best we can to support the organizations in the county to say, hey, that's our goal. They want their trash to be picked up, right? I think it was last summer, there was a trash collection issue. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really an operational problem. It was more of a commerce issue, I think. But the issue is the residents they want their trash picked up.
Right.
And right. We play a part in ensuring and assisting organizations to make sure that's a thing that can be done.
We're on the County Conversation, and we're talking with Avery Church. He is the COOP coordinator for Fairfax County, and we're talking about, I'll say it one last time, Continuity of Operations Planning, or COOP. Let's dive a little deeper into it if we can. I think there's several areas, at least in my cursory reading of COOP and getting prepared for this interview, like defining threats and hazards, looking at the organization's essential functions, succession planning, alternate operational facilities if you need to do that, delegations of authority. Let's start with defining threats and hazards. What does that mean?
So every environment has natural threats and hazards, right? You can think about, for example, this setup here, this podcast. We rely upon other things like electricity, the technology on the back end, people to actually do the, you know, the mixing of the sound and whatnot. So mm-hmm. We have threats against that. People may not come to work. Our electricity provider may have an issue. We may have an issue in building of not being able to provide electricity around the entire facility. We're pretty good here, but that's just a hypothetical. But those are threats and hazards, right? You can think of any function that the county provides. There are going to be threats and hazards. So we have to identify those and be knowledgeable of the threats and hazards. And, you know, one of the things that we have to reiterate is that we can't mitigate against every threat, right? Whether because it's not feasible, we don't have the technology or the know-how to do it, or it's a financial issue. We could probably get around 90% of most issues if we had all the money in the world,
right?
But we just don't. We have to be very mindful of how we spend and, you know, we have a very finite number. So those are the things that each organization has to understand. You have a function list. These are the things that you must do, right?
Okay.
And those, what are the threats to that?
Okay.
Staffing, things of that nature. You have to know that. And you may not fix them all, but just understanding these are the threats, it gets you, you know, gets you halfway to solutions.
So you mentioned staff and technology, weather.
Threat. Of course. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So have to prepare for internal, external technology, weather, whatever the case may be. You've got to think broadly and think of everything.
You have to be very creative.
Okay. That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah. Because the next threat may not be the same thing you've already faced, but the previous threat may give you lessons on, like, the characteristics that are, you know, your weaknesses in your organization, right? Say your organization is very staffed at a very minimal level. Like you need 20 people, you have 21 people, right? Mm. So you have one person over, but you have to be very mindful. You don't have staff extra. So you have to be good with how that staff is being executed, you know, what they're doing and being sent out to do, you know, if they're in the field or if they're in the office. Being mindful of that is very helpful.
You touched on a couple of times already so far, mission essential functions or critical functions. You also talked about prioritizing all these different functions. Mm-hmm. Now, for an agency, I'm assuming that's pretty easy to determine, you know, my one or two critical functions this agency has to perform is X, Y, and maybe Z. But then you get, 50, 60 county agencies together and you've got two or three or more critical functions for each agency.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that, 150, 200, maybe even more? I mean, how does the prioritization come in and how are the critical functions truly defined?
Good question. So in 2016, the board requested a line of business study. And that was the start of what we determined our functions to be. So that study, I asked every organization to tell the board, what is it exactly that you do? Everyone knows it generally what we all do. Right. Like, that's a silly question, but right. Exactly. Mm. What exactly are you doing? So we have that listing. That's what we started with. And that listing, I believe, was, you know, north of 400 items. And that's still the listing that we use currently. Now, it's, you know, each organization, in its current form, can edit their listing because they have to tell me, like, I'm one guy right. in an organization, the county with, you know, was it 14,000 employees, 50 some organizations, like it's a big gig. So I can't tell them what their functions are. They have to tell me if there are changes, right? A good example would be mail service move from, this is embarrassing.
one place to another.
Yeah, one place to another. I believe it left someplace and went to, anyway. So I wasn't aware that we don't send notifications of a function moving, right? It doesn't happen often. But, you know, you have to just talk to people and they're like, oh, Avery, our function moved. So they tell me we have that function. Now we have to worry about that. We have to be prepared and have staffing for it. And if there's an issue, we have to prioritize it. So that's kind of the function list, how we know what we do in the county. Now, prioritization, that's kind of the hard part. That's the art. There's a science, then there's the art. So the county executive, we have a listing of a memo that dictates what's a priority one function versus priority two versus a, you know, category three function.
Okay.
Generally speaking, the things that you expect to be category one are category one, right? You know, providing service like police service, fire. You know, all the administrative government, administrative functions are category one. Category two are more of the, family services, I don't think is a category two. All of it, some parts of that are category one, but some of the things like parks. Parks would be a category two. It's important. People want parks, but in emergency, you know, there are certain things we have to get back up and running. Right. Then you have category three, which are like support items that are helpful, that the county must do, but, you know, obviously are not category one, category two. And that's the hard conversation. That's the art, right?
Right.
And I don't tell people that, hey, your job is a category three job. It's not. Everyone has a very critical job, but in a certain moment, at this moment, we have to focus on these functions first. And that's where resources and assets go towards. So that's kind of how that works. So we have a good game plan.
And just to clarify, we're talking about an emergency situation.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, day to day, obviously everyone's job's important.
Yeah. But when it comes to an emergency, something's happening, especially resources have to be allocated, personnel, et cetera. I think that's where the COOP really comes in handy and helping to define these category ones, twos, and threes, that kind of thing.
Yes. Thank you, Jim. Definitely that is a point. Emergency.
Right. Okay. I want to make sure we didn't kind of gloss over that.
Yeah. So,
a couple other things. And I know we don't have time to go deep in all of these, but some things like succession planning, alternate facilities, delegations of authority. Talk to me a little bit about kind of those areas.
Yeah. So those are kind of the cornerstones of the program. So order of succession would be for not just leadership, it's for any critical position that you have in your organization, ensuring that if that person is not available, for whatever reason, whatever the threshold might be, that there's another person that is briefed in, they're as best prepared as we can make them, that can take over that position without question. And that time is going to be the issue, right? Black people, like, okay, I'm now the new deputy director. Am I really the deputy director? In our program, you are the deputy director. We don't have time to have this, oh, I need permission.
Right.
You are it. You execute the full function of that job, right? Also in facilities, we have to have places and certain functions to do the job, right? Like 911 service in DPSC. That is a very beautiful facility. It's decked out. It is probably one of the best in the country. We have a secondary because of the importance of that function.
Mm.
And it's critical that we have a good facility. It's not as big. It's not as beautiful. But it's functionally still capable. And that's the concept of alternate facilities. We have to have a place where people can go to do almost all the job.
Right.
Because it's such a critical function. You know, delegations of authority, same principle of order of succession, but it's an authority. So, for example, you may succeed a person, but you don't have the check writing authority because you didn't go to class for finance.
Right.
So, you have to delegate it to someone else who does have that. So, we're just trying to cover all our bases, ensuring that when we have someone that succeeds, that everything's taken care of.
We've tried to cram a lot here into this little short podcast. Is there anything I haven't asked you, anything you want to make sure we get out to our listeners?
I'll say this. So we do, as best we can, support the business community and the residents in general. We want to make sure that they understand that, you know, we're working hard here to ensure that services are given to them on their behalf. The businesses, we do have guidance for the businesses. We have a business disaster resiliency guide that we think is a very good document. That's available on our website, fairfaxcounty.gov/emergency-management. Should be on the front page there. And it's a simple guide, but it's very kind of gets into the details as far as if you're a business owner, small business, big business, the concepts pretty much translate. You need to understand what your business does. You know, you need to know the threats in your environment. We're not just talking about the business things like your competition. We're talking about things like your vendor doesn't deliver a really critical thing. Do you have a plan B?
Right. Supply chain issue.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have insurance for certain things? Like if you have a fire, how fast do you expect to be back in your pizzeria? Right? Because days make equal money for the businesses. And we're very cognizant of that. So we have guidance out there for that. And also, you know, one person in the county, I can be a resource. Like, you know, we're available. I'm available, to talk to a business owner or whoever to kind of walk through the process. I can't necessarily write the plans for businesses because of, time. But I can guide you on the things to look for, the questions to ask. The things to be concerned about, for the businesses.
All right. So fairfaxcounty.gov/emergency-management will be a good, is that the correct address?
Yes.
Okay. Good place to go to get this type of information or anything else about emergency planning, emergency.
Yep. It's a home for emergency management documentation and all the things that the county does on behalf of the residents.
Okay. Awesome. Avery, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for hosting.
Wish we had more time. That is going to do it, unfortunately, for this edition of the County Conversation Podcast. Thanks again to Avery for being here. Thanks to you for listening. If you want to get more Fairfax County news, just go to fairfaxcounty.gov/news. You can also call 703-FAIRFAX. That's 703-324-7329. That is weekdays between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. The County Conversation Podcast is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia Government.